Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is Pastor John Edmiston, and this is Insights for Eternity, where we get into God's Word and look at some of the deep things. And at the moment, we're going through a series on prayer, and we'll be looking at James 1, 5 to 8, praying for God's wisdom. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we need wisdom, we need truth, we need revelation from your Word. We pray now that this broadcast will be a blessing to everyone who hears it, that you will open our spiritual eyes and spiritual ears, and that we will hear the words we need to be wise Christians. We pray this in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. First of all, we're going to start with the book of James, which is just past Hebrews. I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, James 1, 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You see, here James is telling us to pray for wisdom. Now, wisdom is the first of God's ways. Wisdom is fundamental to everything else we do. You can't succeed in life if you are foolish, if you are angry, if you are sinful, if you are wicked. These things are against wisdom. They're against the calm, beautiful, wonderful ways of God who operates in righteousness and truth. And so our inner man, our inner self, Christ in you, the hope of glory, needs to feed on the wisdom of God. You need to download the wisdom of God into your heart, into your mind, and into your inmost being, which is why in 1 Corinthians 2 and verses 9 to 16, which we'll look at a bit later, it says there are things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man, but these things God has prepared for those who love him. And so God's prepared all this heavenly wisdom for you, and he will reveal it to you through the Holy Ghost. But how does that happen? How do you get wisdom from God? Well, before we even answer that question, let's look at how fundamental wisdom is. Let's go over to Proverbs chapter 8, and verse 22 to 31. And it's talking about the origin of God's wisdom. It's wisdom talking as if wisdom was a lady explaining things to us. And this is what it says. The Lord possessed me, that's wisdom, at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. From everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills I was brought forth, while he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when the springs of the deep became fixed, when he set for the sea its boundary so that the water should not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the world his earth, and having my delight in the sons of men. So wisdom was there right at the beginning of creation. And we would call that the laws of the universe now, the ways of God and the ways that he has made things to be. And so we describe wisdom as the first of God's ways and the most essential thing to the construction of all things that are good. And so wisdom is desirable. In many places on Proverbs, it says wisdom is better than riches, better than gold or silver or even than fame, and that wisdom brings to us all the things that we need in life. So we need to seek this wisdom from God. Yes, you can find some wisdom in a university course or in a book or in your own thinking, but ultimately all those things run up against limits.
We all run up against the limits of our society, the limits of our own knowledge, the limits of how much we can read and how much we can study. And life throws curveballs at us. It throws us situations that we cannot figure out on our own and in which we need special wisdom from God to solve. And sometimes God will give us a simple solution to a very difficult problem. And there's two illustrations of this from common life. In Africa, as you probably know, there's a disease in which a worm invades the body and it comes out through the skin. And this particular worm was causing a lot of trouble in Africa until people started filtering their water through lady stockings. And then that worm was eliminated from those places because it was no longer going into the human body. It was filtered out. And so this simple solution, this wisdom from God, stopped that disease from spreading. And similarly, a few hundred years ago, the British Navy was being decimated by a disease called scurvy due to a lack of vitamin C. And people would say, you just need to have lime juice, you just need to have citrus, and your sailors will survive. And the Admiralty lords, who were very rich and very powerful, said, no, such a big problem cannot have such a simple solution. But they were wrong. And then people listened to their inner wisdom, they listened to God, they listened to common sense, and soon lime juice was standard on the British ships, and then the scurvy went away. God's solutions are often very, very simple solutions like that. Just like the solution to the guinea worm or the solution to scurvy, God has a simple, straightforward solution to the problems of your life. And that solution might be just to call upon God, like blind Bartimaeus, who called upon the Lord and his eyes were healed. But God has wisdom. He has infinite wisdom, and he can guide you through every situation of your life. He can guide you through your marriage. He can help you with your children and how to raise them. He can help you with your business and give you wisdom on how to run your business. There's nothing wrong with that. He can give you wisdom for your evangelism and for your ministry. Every circumstance of life requires God's wisdom. Man's wisdom is good, but it's finite, it's limited, and it may not apply to your situation. Sometimes we read a book and we go and apply that book to the situation and it's all messed up. Instead, we should have listened to our conscience. We should have listened to God. We should have listened to that gut feeling that maybe this wasn't the smart thing to do. So God gives you wisdom in the inmost man, in the inmost being. And it will come out, it will be revealed to your mind, of course, because that's the only way you can apply it. But deep down in your intuition, in your conscience, in your spirit, that is where you receive wisdom from God. And that wisdom teaches you and instructs you. And as a Christian, we have a greater wisdom. In fact, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 20 and 27, it says that we have a wisdom, an anointing from God, and we know all things. So God has put an anointing on you so that you can know and learn everything. He shows you the things of heaven and the things of earth. He helps you to walk in the Spirit. He helps you to live a holy life. And the wisdom that God gives you is not just a wisdom for this age, but for the age to come. For some of the things in this life that look foolish are actually wise, because if we do them, we will have a great reward in heaven. When you bless those who curse you, when you pray for those who persecute you, this looks foolish in the eyes of the world. But when you do so, you get a great reward in heaven. When you turn the other cheek, when you bless people who have insulted you, you get a great reward in heaven. And so the wisdom of God is actually helping you to get a great and wonderful reward in the heavenly realms. It may look foolish in this life. It may not look wise. But the wisdom of God takes you towards the person of Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is the Spirit of Christ, because Christ is wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. He is the Word of God. He is the Logos of God. So the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of wisdom are the one and same thing. And the spirit of wisdom is also the spirit of prophecy, because the spirit of prophecy is the spirit of Christ. So the prophetic word, the word spoken through the Spirit, the word that comes through the anointing, the word that's the spirit of Christ, is also the spirit of wisdom. And those three are one, and they are all the same. And you need this divine wisdom. You need this spiritual wisdom that's different from the wisdom of the world. We're not talking about calculus here. We're not talking about finances. We're not talking about predicting the stock market. We're not talking about political cleverness. We're talking about a wisdom that is from God, that resides in us in the deepest parts of our being, and which transforms our life and our countenance. For the person that is spiritually wise has a shiny face. They're full of love. They're full of grace. They are wise, and so they become patient. An impatient person is foolish and wrecks their life. But a patient person shows and displays the wisdom of God. A wise person is generous and kind because they know that God will repay them, if not now, in the life to come. The person who is wise is a peaceable person. They're reasonable and they're good. Let's go back to the book of James, and we'll have a look at the divine wisdom in James chapter 3 and verses 16 to 18, and the contrast with the wisdom of this world that is so grasping and selfishly ambitious and evil. And the wisdom of this world is not something you want. It will destroy you. Let's have a look. We'll go back to verse 13. James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So if God's wisdom dwells in you, if you pray for God's wisdom and it enters into your mind and your heart and your spirit, if you become a person of divine wisdom, you will be pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. You will not be one of the foolish, clamorous people, the people with the earthly, natural, demonic wisdom of the politicians, full of envy and selfish ambition. You don't want to go there. You don't want to go into sarcasm and cruel words and envy and boastfulness and the constant ups and downs of the political world and political life. You can't behave like those people. There may be some good, wise politicians and statesmen around, but you know the kind of people that I'm talking about, who are forever grasping at life, and they're full of cunning, and they're full of corruption, and they're full of darkness. You don't need that kind of wisdom in your life at all. You need the simple, pure wisdom of God that will guide you in all things and make you into a Christ-like person with the Spirit of Christ. Because he who does not have the Spirit of Christ is not of God. You can't have the spirit of the devil and still be of God. You can't be full of envy, selfish ambition, and cruelty and have the Spirit of God. You need to have the Spirit of Jesus. You need to have the Spirit of wisdom. You need to have the Spirit of prophecy. And you need to ask God for that. Let's go back to James chapter 1. Now we know what we're asking God for. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him or to her. If you need wisdom, God's not going to be mad at you. God gives generously and without reproach. He won't say, oh, look, you're so stupid that you had to ask for wisdom in this situation. God is delighted when you ask for wisdom. He is your heavenly Father, and he knows how to give you good gifts, and he gives you good gifts in a very generous and kind way. So God wants you to have his wisdom, and he will give it to you in abundance. He will give it to you to encourage you and strengthen you in order to make you a wise person who is in the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of prophecy. So God wants to fill you with wisdom, and you will download that wisdom from the heavenly realms. He is you, and there's a Holy Spirit in you reaching up to God and downloading the heavenly wisdom of God into your mind, into your heart, so you are transformed from a foolish person to a wise person, from a person that does not know spiritual things to a person that does understand spiritual things. And this process of you getting the wisdom of God is a spiritual process that comes to us through the blood of Jesus Christ, because the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed our relationship with the heavenly realms. Things we could not ask for before are now ours. The spiritual wisdom that was inaccessible to us before the cross is now accessible to us now that we're born again. And once you get born again, you find that suddenly you can start to understand the Bible. You can understand the scriptures. And of course, God will give you wisdom to understand the scriptures and to understand the things that are unfolding on this earth and to understand your place in them and how you should minister. So God's going to give you the wisdom and enlightenment. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 to 16, and you'll understand the process of how God's wisdom can come into your life. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man, which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So what happens is the Holy Spirit gets you born again, and the Holy Spirit gives you the mind of Christ. Then the Holy Spirit, who knows the things of God, takes those things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man, and reveals them to us by the Spirit. It says this in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, which is full of envy and selfish ambition, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. So God wants to show you all the things that are freely given to him, all the things in the heavenly realms that we inherit in Christ Jesus. For they're all ours. All the spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms are ours in Christ Jesus, and all the promises of God are yea and amen. But we don't know about that. We don't know about these wise spiritual things that we can move in. The Holy Spirit has to reveal them to us. We have to suddenly understand all the things that we've inherited in Christ Jesus. We need to know that we are in Christ, that we have died with Christ, that we have risen with Christ, that we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, that our life is hidden with God in heaven in Christ, that we shall return with Jesus and rule and reign upon this earth. We need to know the spiritual truths that are going to make a difference to how we see this world. This world is passing away, and we don't need to grasp. We don't need to hold on to it. We don't need to be selfish ambition. Instead, we need God's perspective. In the midst of the crises of this world, wars and famines and plagues, in stock market crashes and economic ruin, all the things that happen around us, God is greater than them all, and we need to know that. We need to have the firm wisdom of God in the midst of all the hoarding and all the crazy stuff that's going on around us. And here in Los Angeles at the moment, the supermarket shelves are empty because of the coronavirus, because people have panicked and they've bought everything that exists and there isn't much in the supply chain because it's very fragile. And here in America, people are trying to go and buy water. Water they could get out of a tap, they're buying it in a bottle. Here, things are looking very bleak today as I'm speaking to you on Friday the 13th. Of March 2020. I don't know when you're going to receive this radio program. But here things look bleak, but the wisdom of God is greater than the bleakness of the media. God will share Christ with you. God will show you how to handle every situation in your life. God will give you the wisdom that you need for every daily situation. And there's a condition, though, as there is with most promises of God, the condition is that you believe. You have to, in order to receive in the spiritual realms, you have to believe. Faith is the way we receive things from God. As you have faith, so be it unto you. And Jesus would say this to people who are healed. Your faith has healed you. Go in peace. The way we receive is by believing. Your faith is the way we download things from heaven. And you have to believe that God will give you the wisdom. Sometimes God will give you an idea. He will give you a plan. He will give you a solution. And people will say, oh, I don't think that could be true. And they will run off with the worldly solution instead, and they will make a mess of things. How many times have each of us failed to listen to our intuition, failed to hear the voice inside us saying, don't trust that person, they're not any good, but we trust them anyway because they're charming, and we end up in a mess. So That voice inside your head, that intuition that says do this and not that, you have to believe that intuition. You have to believe that you have received the wisdom from God and that you can act on it in life and that God will guide you in all things, in your inner man, in your inner woman, in Christ in you, the hope of glory. That intuition, that pure intuition, that is God's wisdom trying to pipe up and guide you in life and say, don't lose your temper here. Don't make a mess of that. You'll be ashamed of yourself if you do. This is what you have to listen to, and you have to believe that you've received the wisdom from God. James 1 verse 6, but let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. If you're constantly doubting, you say, oh, I'm not sure about that, I'm not sure about this, you become an unstable person. And you lose the wisdom of God. You toss it away because of your doubt. You don't act on the good things that God's revealed to you. And the life becomes unstable. And it says, for let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So if you're constantly doubting the things that God is showing you, if you're constantly doubting the scriptures when you read them and God reveals them to you and then you throw them away and you forget what you've learned, you will be a double-minded person, unstable in all your ways, because part of your mind will be on the world and part of your mind will be on God, and you'll be jumping between them, just like the Israelites were always tossing between Baal and Yahweh. And that led to them eventually losing the land, losing their inheritance, losing the temple, and being dragged off into exile. You see, you lose everything through doubt. If you're double-minded, you can't succeed in life. You have to commit yourself fully to God and to the wisdom of God and the ways of God without questioning God too much, because God's ways are higher than our ways and his purposes are better than our purposes. And God has a plan for your life, a good plan, a plan for a future and a hope. And if you follow that plan through faith, if you believe what God has revealed to you about your life, if you step out courageously and do things like just as Joshua did things in the Old Testament and won the battles because he believed in God, just as David fought Goliath and won because he believed in God, then with the wisdom of God, with the courage of God, with the perspective of God, you'll be able to face life and have a victorious life instead of the life of a loser or a life of a person who has no faith and is double-minded and gets tossed here and there. So you don't want that. You want the life that is full of the wisdom and glory of God, a life that's full of the Holy Spirit, a life that's full of the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of prophecy. So you need to believe in order to receive. And in order to believe, you have to trust the Word of God. You have to say, I'm going to believe this. You have to make it intentional. I remember early on in my life, I had to believe it was something to do with mathematics. I had to believe that I could understand that subject, and then I understood the subject. But I had to take the step of faith of believing that it was possible for me to understand it. And so it is when you read the Bible. You have to believe that God will give you revelation of the scriptures, and it will be possible for you to understand the Bible because the Holy Spirit will open it up to you. The Holy Spirit will give you the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit will give you the wisdom of God that is reserved in heaven, and you'll be smarter than any man. You'll be like Daniel. You'll be like Joseph. You'll be able to advise kings. You'll be able to do things that other people can't do because God will give you that special wisdom, the wisdom that flows directly from God, the kind of wisdom that Abraham had when he went out of the land and God said, go out to the land and I will show you the land that you'll inherit. And he acted on the wisdom of God and on the word of God and went out and became a mighty nation. So you need to have that kind of intuitive Abrahamic wisdom that just believes God and does what he says. You need the sort of kind of wisdom that Noah had when he built the ark. God spoke to him. He believed God. He built the ark, and it was the wisest thing he ever did. He saved himself and his family in the midst of a universal flood. But it must have looked foolish at the time. But Noah acted on the wisdom of God and was saved. So you need to have that wisdom within yourself. You need to have the courage to believe. And you need to decide that you can believe. And you need to decide that you can understand the wisdom of God, because your mind will be changed. It will be turned upside down. You will go from darkness to light. You will go from having no spiritual mind to having a great spiritual mind. You'll be able to understand the spiritual things of Scripture, of the book of Revelation, of the book of John, of the symbols and the understandings. And God will give you a wisdom, a supernatural wisdom that people around you don't have and won't have. You'll be calm in the midst of a crisis. You'll be able to see the way through a financial situation. You'll become a person that other people say, oh, well, so-and-so seems to be so lucky. They seem to be together. They seem to not make any mistakes. The people that don't make any mistakes are the people that are quiet, that are respectable, that don't rush around being loud and ambitious and clamoring, but instead are quiet, peaceable, reasonable people who sit themselves down and listen to the wisdom of God and lead lives without mistakes and errors, because they're listening for God. They're not rushing off on their own understanding. And so you need to sit down and listen to the wisdom of God. Now, at this point, you need to say, you need the wisdom of God. You need to acknowledge to God. It says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. So if you lack wisdom, say, Lord, I lack wisdom. I don't know how to live my life. But you can download that into my spirit and into my mind. And then go to God and say that you want divine wisdom. You want God, through the Holy Spirit, to download wisdom into your heart and your mind. And you'll receive wisdom like a flash of intuition. You'll receive wisdom and you'll think about things, and suddenly you'll understand them and you'll understand what to do. And your thinking will become better thinking. It will become calmer thinking. It will become wise and beautiful thinking instead of scattered thinking. And you'll be able to think a long way, because God's wisdom will be tracking with you at all times and helping you to think in logical and good ways. So go and ask God for wisdom, the wisdom that was there from the foundation of the world, the wisdom that God has reserved for you, that will reveal to you things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the mind of man. This wisdom, God wants to give it to you generously and without reproach. Don't think you can live life just being a smart aleck on your own. Humble yourself before the Lord and ask for his wisdom, because it's better than your wisdom. And this world is full of chaos. You cannot plot your path in this world. If you think you can, I thought I could when I was young, but it soon got disrupted. You can't plot your path in this world. You can't be a self-made man. You have to be a God-made man or a God-made woman. And for that, you need the wisdom of God. So go and ask for it and believe for it. This is John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship signing off with Insights for Eternity. God bless and have a wonderful week. See you next week. Bye.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.